I felt eyes on me. I was almost positive they belonged to Hannah, but I didn't check. I didn't care. I only cared about being alone with Asher.
Okay.
I acquiesced and let him lead me to the back. Once we were around the storage bins, his truck came into view. When we were on the far side of the truck, hidden from view, he backed me up against it and placed his hands on either side of me. His palms sat on the door behind me.
Tell me what just happened.
Sighing, I closed my eyes because this was embarrassing.
I came to get flowers for the salon in hopes of seeing you. Then I heard you and Hannah talking. Y'all were friendly. She was being flirty with you.
Asher put a finger under my chin and tilted my head back.
Open your eyes, Dix.
He sounded amused. I slowly opened them and then blinked against the sun.
Hannah is my friend. We work together.
I nodded. He just smirked and pressed a kiss to my lips.
I like you, Jealous. I have to admit it.
I don't, I pouted.
He laughed, but then dropped his hands from the truck behind me and stood back up straight.
I've got to eat lunch. You've got to get flowers. And if I stay back here with you any longer, I'll start kissing you the way I want to. We can't do that just yet. Not in public.
Because of Steel.
Okay, I replied, wishing things were different, but I understood.
Come on, he said with a gentle tug of my hand,
walking us back around the truck. I wasn't embarrassed anymore, so when my eyes found Hannah looking at us, I smiled. I didn't care what she thought of me. I had acted silly, and if she wanted to think I was nuts, I couldn't blame her.
I'd share half my sandwich with you, if it wouldn't make people talk, he said.
I'll eat back at the salon.
I won't enjoy my lunch company, I promise.
I laughed at that. He quickly squeezed my hand, then moved away. It wasn't until I lifted my eyes to start looking for flowers that I saw him.
Steel.
He was standing just outside his truck, watching us. His angry glare caused my breath to hitch, making Asher follow my gaze. He tensed and immediately put distance between us.
Come on, you. Time to eat. Thanks for helping Dixie with that. I had no idea where to find it,
Hannah said brightly as she walked in between us and wrapped her arms around Asher's arm.
What?
Asher started to say, but then nodded.
Yeah, no problem.
Hannah was saving him from Steel. I understood that, but it still didn't feel good to see her cuddling up against him.
Oh, hey, Steel,
she called out, waving and walking Asher away from me. She glanced back at me.
Just take what you need to the front. Nora will check you out. We're taking our lunch now.
There was a challenge in her gaze as she looked at me. Then she gave me a slow smile, went up on her toes, and pressed a kiss to Asher's face. He's just the sweetest. I waited to see him push her away, to tell her to stop, to question why she thought she could do that. But he did none of those things. He let her continue to cling to him. I didn't want to watch anymore. My stomach felt sick as I walked away, back toward the street. Away from Steel, away from Asher, and away from Hannah. I didn't want to pretend anymore. I had pretended for years. Pretended that I was okay. That I wasn't hurting every single day. That I wasn't lost. I was done with it all. Last night, I'd allowed myself to hope that maybe sometime soon, Asher would want to fight for me too. That after the sex, he'd want more. He'd want back what we had taken from us. But what I'd just witnessed hadn't been fighting. That had been acting. That had been just one more lie to add to the growing pile between us all.
Chapter 30. Asher Sutton.
That fucking quick, Steel asked as he continued glaring at me like he hated the sight of me. I wanted to see if Dixie was gone, but I knew not to look in her direction. Steel would go crazy, and I didn't want him doing that here. Not what you think it is, I told him. She just came by needing help with some flowers for the salon. I had Asher show her the newest stock out back that we haven't displayed yet. That's all, Steele, Hannah offered cheerfully. She was a good actress, her easygoing tone convincing and confident. And the way she stayed attached to my arm suggested that something was happening between us. Steele looked at Hannah, then back to me. You fucking her? He asked. I wasn't sure if he meant Hannah or Dixie. Steele, I started to correct him because Mr. Horn, the nearly 80 years old pastor at the Baptist church, had just heard him cuss while he shopped for gardening gloves for his wife. But Hannah interrupted me. Our sex life isn't your business, Steele. Never will be, either. Hannah and I would never have a sex life. I didn't correct her, though. I'd do that later, after Steele had left. If this was just a grand act to appease him, then I was thankful for it. But if she thought it was the beginning of anything more between us, I needed to clarify to her that it wasn't. He continued to study us. You been home? Mama is worried. He shrugged. She's pissed as hell, not worried. That too, I agreed. More silence filled the space between us. She only loved you. Never loved me, he said before walking away. He sounded defeated. I wanted to tell him that he meant something to her, that he'd been important to her. Instead, I just let him go, hating myself for putting that pain in his eyes. She's really messed with his head, Anna said in a whisper. If the past wasn't what it was, if things hadn't happened the way they did, if a lie hadn't kept us apart, I'd agree with her. But Dixie was as much a victim as he was. We all were. She never meant to, I told her. You sure? Hannah asked. I moved away from her and was tempted to just walk back to my truck and drive off, away from the questions. Back to the lake, where nothing mattered but me and Dixie. But I couldn't do that. There is more to the story than you know. She frowned. Then tell me. It's not something I can share, I replied, and walked away for more questions. Hannah had helped me. I appreciated it. But that didn't give her access to my personal life, past or present. I forgot about lunch and went to hauling the 10-pound bags of fertilizer from the trailer to the display area. The heat and sweat quickly replaced my thoughts of Dixie and Steele. It was 10 minutes before quitting time when Hannah walked back to my truck. Her sunglasses were perched on the top of her head, and her purse was slung over her shoulder. She was leaving. You don't realize what you're missing being hung up on the past, she said. It sounded like she'd been working on that line for hours. I pulled my work gloves off and then lifted my hat from my head to let the breeze hit my forehead. Before I responded, until you know what Dixie and I have, don't jump to conclusions, Hannah. She thought about that for a moment. Hannah didn't annoy me too much. I even liked her at times. But at this moment, I was ready to snap at her. Her tendency to judge without knowing all the facts was beginning to wear on my nerves. You'll crush Steele, she said matter-of-factly. It was none of her business, but I had to defend Dixie. He didn't consider me when he decided to date her. But you broke up with her. I was done having this conversation with Hannah. My patience had worn thin. Again, you don't know the whole story, so please stay out of it. Now, excuse me, but it's time for me to leave. I didn't give her time to shoot more questions my way or say anything else. I didn't want to see her face again today. As much as she'd saved things earlier, she'd ruined it all by sticking her nose where it didn't belong, trying to hurt the one I loved. While walking to my truck, Hannah called out to me, I'm here when this blows up in your face. I didn't need or want her to be there. But I held my anger in check and just kept walking. When I was finally inside my truck and away from Hannah, I breathed a sigh of relief. Tonight I would see Dixie again. We'd meet at the lake and she would be mine, there. There would be no hiding, no secrets. Just us, I could get through anything knowing that was coming. Even a dinner with my brothers and a very pissed off Steele. He'd calm down eventually and see this was best for him. I knew I should just admit my feelings for Dixie and face the consequences, but I couldn't. Not yet. He needed some time first. Dixie didn't deserve to be anyone's dirty little secret, and not even protecting Steele justified her becoming one. I had to figure out what was best for everyone, but that would take some thought. For now, we had our lake. I had Dixie. My thoughts were no longer just memories of better times that kept slicing me open. Dixie Monroe had always been meant to be mine. Our connection didn't dwindle even when everything had been thrown at us to keep us apart. We'd have a future one day. I had to believe that.
Chapter 31. Dixie Monroe. When I woke up this morning, I'd had a romantic evening with Asher all planned out in my head, where I would be in his arms again, and there would be no more pretending, no more half-truths. But like most things in my life, things didn't go as planned. I'd come to the lake an hour early to think. I needed to decide if I could do this. If I could possibly set myself up for a crushing end again. I wanted a storybook romance. One where we loved each other, put each other first, had no secrets between us. One where we were free to be ourselves. Everything we never had. Being together now filled us both with fear, guilt, regret. Yet we wanted it so desperately. We were willing to pretend. For a few hours, we pretended we had everything, only to wake up to the deafening tick-tocks of a reality check. It had taken me so long to even find the will to live after I'd lost Asher. Just laughing again had required so much effort. I didn't know whether I was willing to go through that again, or whether I even still loved him enough to take a chance on us. Did he love me enough to face his own family just to be with me? All this was running through my head when his truck pulled up nearby. I didn't run to him like I used to do, eager to greet him and show him how much I was happy to see him. The urgency to be in his arms in moments like these wasn't as strong because I no longer felt certain of his love. These doubts held me back, held my whole heart back. He parked, cut his lights, and walked over to sit down beside me. He didn't speak at first. It was as if he was reading my thoughts, assessing them in his own mind before acting. I let him do it. What happened at his work today had opened my eyes to what I might have to endure if we ever decided to continue this in any way. Hannah got to eat lunch with him, laugh with him, be with him in public. All the things I couldn't get. How long would it be before he got tired and wanted that too? How long would it be before he went looking for it elsewhere?
He just needs more time.
Asher finally broke the silence. So until then, I have to let Hannah or Amber or Emily enjoy you in ways I can't. It wasn't a question. It was a statement of truth. A painful fact. He turned to me.
No, of course not. I'm not with them. I never will be with any of them.
It's just you, Dix, he pleaded. He didn't get it. He thought moments like these where no one else could see us would be enough for me. Today, you were with Hannah. She got to spend time with you. She got to laugh with you. She got to eat lunch with you for the whole world to see. All things I can't have. His hand covered mine.
She means nothing to me.
She's just a friend. Heck, she's even barely that. She's a coworker. We don't hang out after work. Today, she put up an act entirely for Steele's sake. No, she acted to please you, to touch you, to make you like her, and to claim you in front of me. I sounded jealous and crazy, I knew that, but I couldn't stop the words spilling from my mouth. My heart was hurting inside my chest.
Dix, look at me.
he said as his finger slid under my chin and turned my face toward his.
It's only you, and it's only ever been you. I told you that. I've told Hannah that.
And after Steele's had some time to adjust,
I will tell him that too.
What if while I'm waiting, your feelings for me change? I'd have to move on again, and it almost killed me last time, Asher. I'm not sure I have the strength to... Asher lowered his lips to mine to silence them, pressing ever so gently.
It's always been you, Dix. Just you. There is no way I could ever stop loving you. God knows I've tried.
I let him kiss me again. I let myself trust his lips, hear every silent promise they were making. I let myself forget he hadn't been fighting for me, that he had turned us into a dirty little secret just to protect his family. But I only allowed myself to forget for a brief moment. I knew it was time I protected myself against anyone who was not willing to put me first, regardless of how much I loved him. I gathered enough willpower to break the kiss and put some distance between us. I didn't look at him in the eyes, knowing the love I'd find in them would break my resolve, but I needed him just one last time. I needed that connection between us. I needed to feel Asher inside me one more time before I let him go. He had to decide all on his own after that if he was going to fight for me or not. Fuck me, I said, while my mind was screaming to beg him to make love to me, to love my body gently, to show me that I was not alone in this. He ran his hand down my bare arm.
Tonight, let me take it slow.
I knew that if he took it slow, I'd break into a million pieces. I desperately wanted it, but I was too weak to have it. Not tonight. I need you inside me, now. His pupils grew larger, and the sweet left his eyes, replaced by raw hunger. He wanted it as much as I did. He didn't order me to get naked this time around. Instead, he did it for me, jerking my tank top off first, then pushing me back onto the grass so he could pull my shorts and panties off.
I spent a fucking hour in the shower this morning thinking about this,
he growled, tossing his shirt aside and unbuttoning his jeans.
How tight your pussy is, how wet it gets, how it feels when you claw my back.
I let my legs fall open, and his eyes went directly to my wet opening. Keep talking like that, and I'll orgasm without you, I panted, my chest rising and falling rapidly.
You sure you don't want me to take my time? I could eat this pussy until you're screaming for me to stop. Then fill you up nice and slow.
What woman wouldn't want that? But my heart begged me not to take it. Please, Asher, I pleaded. His body came down over mine, and with a firm thrust, he was inside me. I screamed, curving my back and lifting my legs to wrap myself tightly around him. He started moving immediately, his arms flexed with each thrust. His breathing deep, then short and shallow. He murmured words in my ear that I had to close my eyes to block out. Hearing him tell me how much he loved me and what I meant to him was splintering my heart because I felt the same way and couldn't tell him. Not before it was safe for me to do so. When I began to tremble and cry out in release, he held me close. I let myself just inhale his scent. Feel him inside me and everywhere around me, and a small tear trickled from the corner of my eye and hid in my hair. In that moment, we were as we always should have been. We were happy, connected, complete. A second tear followed when I realized we might never have this again.
Chapter 32. Asher Sutton. Yelling pulled me out of my sleep the next morning. I was up in the attic, but I could still hear the words being hurled downstairs. Jumping out of bed and grabbing a pair of sweats to quickly pull on, I ran down the stairs as quickly as I could. We'd been waiting for things to escalate between Brent and Bray, and it sounded like that moment had arrived. I came to a stop as I turned the corner and walked into the kitchen.
Bray swung his angry snarl at me. Go the fuck back upstairs, we don't need a referee. He scowled, knowing well why I was there.
The hell you don't, interjected Dallas. Calm them the fuck down.
He was looking at me now.
Or why don't y'all let me deal with this myself? The motherfucker was screwing my girlfriend. Dixie broke up with Steele, but not because she was fucking Asher, because Asher wouldn't do that to his own brother.
Brent's tone was hard but calm. He was angry, but he wasn't on the verge of hitting anyone.
It ain't you we're worried about, it's the crazy ass one, Steele said, looking pointedly at Bray.
She left. She fucking left. She left us both. What the fuck does it matter now? She obviously didn't feel the same way either of us did, Bray said without the anger I expected to seep from his words. He sounded hollow, empty, a feeling I understood all too well.
I just want to know why.
Am I asking too much, Bray? Can you even give me a fucking reason why? Brent was getting angrier now. He slowly turned his gaze to his twin, who simply replied, No.
You motherfucking asshole, Brent roared and moved fast.
He was almost on top of Bray when Steele and Dallas grabbed him by the arms.
He's already got a black eye and swollen nose because of Asher, Steele said, holding him off Bray.
Let him at me. I'll give him one shot. Then I'm fighting back.
I just watched it all unfold, not sure if this was their fight to finish. There was pain on both sides. They were closer than the rest of us. They had a bond none of us had. But what had happened with Scarlet was hard to overcome.
You just take whatever you want, not caring about anyone but yourself, and when you end up hurting people, you use your temper as an excuse. You pitch a damn fit whenever you can't get what you want.
I was the oldest. They were waiting on me to arbitrate between them, to stop them when things got out of hand. It was what I had always done, but this was different. They were men, not boys anymore.
Let Brent go. This ain't our fight to stop. But if you're gonna hit each other, take it outside and out of Mama's kitchen.
Brent stormed past everyone and opened the screen door.
Then get your ass outside, he said, shooting a challenge back at Bray.
Steele and Dallas looked at me like I'd lost my mind. I turned to them and shrugged. It's their fight. They need this.
Bray was at the door when he put his hand on the screen and glanced back at Steele, then me.
Since we're all getting our shit out and dealing with things, why don't you tell Steele about the fact you've been fucking Dixie down at the lake since she left him?
I turned just as Steele's fist met my face.
Better take that shit outside, Bray drawled, disappearing out the door.
Holy hell, Dallas muttered as I followed Bray outside. Are y'all really about to just beat the shit out of each other?
No one looked at him. No one even acknowledged his question. We all heard it, but there was too much anger in the air to stop any of it now. I watched as Brent slammed into Bray and they went rolling down the grass hill behind them. Then I turned and looked at Steele.
You can have one more, then I'm getting mine. Because I had her first. She was mine before she was yours.
Steele glared at me. You broke her heart.
And you know I had a good reason.
Steele advanced on me.
We never even had sex.
Good. That was all it took. Steele's hand connected with my jaw again and I let him. I took in two hits and then I just wrestled him until he was out of breath, evading his hits as well as I could. He put his hands on his knees and stared at the ground for several moments before tilting his head back and looking at me.
I loved her.
I still do. Never stopped, and you knew it. Just didn't care. He winced and looked away.
Always wanted her. She was my age. Too young for you, but she only ever saw you.
We didn't plan this. You can't plan what your heart wants. Steele sank down and sat on the ground. He stretched his feet out in front of him and got in a relaxed position.
Fuck if I know that.
I never touched her when you were with her. He nodded.
I know.
I looked down the hill where grunts and hits were still filling the air.
Think we should stop them yet? Steele asked.
They're gonna fucking kill each other, Dallas said, glaring at the two of us like we had lost our minds. If you two are done, then help me save Brent's face before Bray bashes it in. All this over damn women, Jesus, could y'all not just find other women and stop falling for the same ones? Wait until you fall in love, Steele said to him. He shook his head. Sure as hell won't be Scarlet or Dixie, I can abso-fucking-lutely promise you that. Steele grinned. And I knew we were going to be okay, eventually. Maybe not tomorrow or next week, but one day all this would be behind us. One day we could all be happy for each other. Come on, let's go stop them. Not sure they'll stop on their own, I told Steele, standing up. About damn time. You two take a few swings, then chat it out while Brent's getting beat to death, Dallas said, running down the hill. Get your asses off that grass and stop that nonsense. I'm not having it. It's ridiculous and a waste of time. That girl's done run off. Get over it. The both of you. Mama's voice rang over the yard as she stood with a basket full of tomatoes from the garden. Both of them paused. I mean it. Go wash the blood off. She looked our way. All of you. Then get to work. I ain't making no breakfast for the likes of this bunch. Act in such a way as that. Brent and Bray didn't make a move to continue. What about me? I didn't fight with anyone, Dallas said, looking panicked over the idea of no breakfast. I'm sure you did something to be punished. Fix yourself some cheese toast. I got work to do. She didn't wait to see if we did as she said. She just knew we would. Brent didn't look as bad as Dallas was sure he would. They looked equally beaten to me. Brent's anger and hurt had given him more of a fight. Their hurt wouldn't heal anytime soon. What Bray had done couldn't be forgiven easily. Brent would need a lot of time. He looked at Bray. This doesn't make it okay. That was all he said before walking up the hill and out to the barn to wash up. Fucking women, Dallas said, shaking his head. One day he'd meet one that made him change his mind. We didn't get all washed up, nor did we get ready for work. The ambulance siren stopped us all. It was close. Too close.
Chapter 33. Luke Monroe. Standing outside the barn, I heard Charlotte screaming hysterically. I think I died 1,000 deaths in that moment. The terrified sound coming from my wife was unlike anything I'd ever witnessed. The time it took for me to run from the barn to the house seemed forever, although it was only seconds. My whole world was in that house. With each foot I got closer to the house, I knew I wasn't ready to face what was awaiting me inside. Bursting through the door, I found Charlotte bent over my daughter's limp body, doing CPR. For a second, my vision went blank. I quickly moved her out of the way and took over. Ambulance is on its way, she wailed. She was just standing there when she suddenly went pale and collapsed. I thought she'd fainted, but her heart... Charlotte let out a loud sob. Oh, God, please don't take our baby. Please, God, please, she begged, as I continued doing chest compressions to get Dixie's heart beating again. My own seemed to have stopped. My baby girl was lifeless under my hands. No parent should ever have to experience this. The siren came, but I didn't stop. I heard Charlotte run to the door, screaming at them to hurry. I just kept pressing on her chest, begging her heart to start beating. I wasn't letting my girl die. She was too young and so full of life. This wasn't happening. I felt hands on my shoulders trying to move me back, but I fought against them. No, she needs me. I screamed. Luke, let them save her, Charlotte pleaded. Please save her, she cried out at the EMTs who were now using a defibrillator on Dixie, right there on our living room floor. It's beating, one man yelled as another moved her to a stretcher. Life flight is here, another said. I ran after them as I hurried my baby out the door into the helicopter that had landed in my front yard. I saw the Sutton boys running up the hill just as they were loading Dixie onto the helicopter. We're taking her to Memorial, a woman explained to me and hurried in behind them. We can give you a ride in the ambulance, It will be quicker, the man who had moved me off Dixie offered. Charlotte was weeping uncontrollably. I turned to her only to realize my own vision was blurred from tears. What had just happened? Mr. and Mrs. Monroe, are you ready to leave? I couldn't move. My little girl was unconscious and being taken to a hospital in a helicopter. What happened? I asked, shaking my head in confusion. We don't know yet, but they will soon. Charlotte buried herself against my chest, her sobs turning into full-body shakes. What happened? Asher Sutton roared from nearby, his face void of color and the same terror running through my veins mirrored in his own eyes. We need to go. Get you there as soon as possible, the EMT insisted. They need to get to their daughter, so we're going to have to ask you all to move back, the man said, addressing the Sutton boys who all stood behind Asher, looking stricken. Climbing into the back of the ambulance, I felt like I wasn't in my body anymore. It felt like I was hovering above, watching all this unfold. This couldn't be real. This wasn't happening. I heard Asher Sutton demanding answers and pleading for some hope. I heard them give him the hospital name before the doors to the ambulance closed and the sirens started to howl. Never had I felt so helpless.
Charlotte Monroe. I had just finished cleaning up the breakfast table when I realized that Dixie hadn't come down as early as she normally did on work days. I called up to her, and she said she'd be down in a minute. When she walked into the living room, her face looked ashen and her eyes tired. Are you sick, sweetheart? I had asked. She frowned. I think I might be. I was fine when I woke up, but as soon as I started walking around, I began to feel funny. I feel weak, and I can't take really deep breaths. It's weird. I became concerned. I hope you've not got that flu going around. It's a nasty stomach one. You may be dehydrated. Let me get you some juice. Sit down. I'll call the salon and let them know you're not well. She nodded. Okay. But she didn't move. Her eyes appeared to lose focus as she stared at me, as if they were suddenly empty. Then she just collapsed right there, on the floor. I closed my eyes as the horror of those moments replayed over and over in my head. I checked her pulse then, and I couldn't find it. If it was there, it was weak. Too weak. The screaming, calling for help, and then working to bring her back all ran together into one horrifying memory. I felt paralyzed by fear. A loud sob startled me, and I felt Luke's body shudder against mine. He wailed. The sound of pure pain. One that only a parent could feel for his child. His little girl. Another wail ripped through him, and I held on to him. He'd been strong. Worked on her heart without pause. Now he was breaking apart, and I wasn't whole myself. We were slowly shattering together. My baby, he sobbed as he held on to me. Tears streamed down my face. This was the first time I'd ever heard my husband cry. I wanted to tell him she would be okay, that she was going to be fine, but I needed someone to tell me that. She wasn't mine by blood, but she'd been mine by heart for many, many years. And if she didn't make it, she'd take my heart with her too.
Chapter 34. Asher Sutton. Bray was driving. I didn't remember much about getting in the truck. I heard the EMTs say her heart had stopped and that they didn't know why. That was all I knew. Nothing more. Then they drove off, leaving me only with the name of the hospital to which they took her. This didn't seem real. It was as if I'd been stuck in a nightmare, unable to wake up. The horror and fear on her parents' faces said all I needed to know. I had to get to that hospital. She wasn't leaving me. She was too young. Healthy 18-year-old girls didn't need life flight. They'd fix this. She'd be fine. She had to be fine. Breathe, Ash. Breathe, Brent said as his hand touched my back. I inhaled sharply and my lungs burned, similar to the way they did when we were kids and would compete against each other to see who could hold their breath the longest underwater. I hadn't even realized I'd stopped breathing. That was the second time Brent had to remind me. Not much further, Bray said, glancing up at me through the rearview mirror. I couldn't respond. Speaking required too much. I was doing all I could to keep it together.
My cheeks were wet from silent tears. Fear, disbelief, pain all mixed inside me, reminding me I couldn't live without Dixie. My brothers weren't talking either, not much, anyway. Dixie was special to all of us. She'd been in our lives as long as we could remember. Mama was on her way, too. Dallas was driving her. She was getting the people in the local churches to pray, and she also packed me some things because she knew I'd stay there with Dixie. I wouldn't leave until she could. And Dixie would leave. She'd come back home with me. "Think they'd tell us anything if we called the hospital?" Steele asked. "Doubt it. Family only," Brent said. I just stared out the window. We had to get there. She needed me there. "Did the EMT say anything more, Bray?" Brent asked. Bray had talked to them more than any of us. I'd been out of my mind. I still was. I wouldn't be okay until I saw her. Talked to her. "No," he said, glancing up in the rearview mirror again with a concerned look. He knew more, he just wasn't telling us. "If you know something, then I want to know," I told him, speaking for the first time. Bray didn't look at me this time. He remained silent. "If you know something," I started, and Steele looked at me. "Don't. None of us know any facts. Let's just get there." He was right. I needed facts. It had been a helicopter. Motherfucking life flight. I'd only ever seen one after a car accident. When someone had almost died from the injuries, not at someone's house, and not there to collect an 18-year-old. "Get out here," Bray said, pulling in front of a building. A large red sign in front of us said emergency. We were here. "I'll park and meet y'all inside." I didn't wait. I was out of the car and inside within seconds. I ran to the lady at the sign-in sheet. "Dixie Monroe, she was brought in by Lifelight. Do you have any information on her?" The lady casually looked at her computer, smacking her gum like I hadn't just said the words Lifelight. This was no big deal to her. She'd been desensitized by other people's nightmares. "She's not in the ER," the woman said, frowning. "She's admitted, though. She's in the intensive cardiac care unit." I had no fucking idea what that meant other than she was alive. Right now, that was enough. "Where is that?" "Go left around the large turn, then take the elevators on your right to the fifth floor. Take a left then and go straight until you see the waiting room." Bray was inside now. The four of us headed in the direction we were told. I knew that even without telling them to do it, that one would text Dallas and give him directions. I was always the one who kept them together, stood with them, ready to face anything and anyone, making sure everyone was taken care of, not now. Now they were standing with me, by my side, because they all knew that if something were to happen to her, I'd fall apart. She was my center. Walking toward the waiting room, I could see Luke pacing in front of it. He ran his hand over his balding head, and the tense lines of his face were obvious even from afar. Charlotte saw us first. She stood up and walked toward me, pulling me into a hug. "She's alive," she whispered in both relief and desperation. Because that didn't mean she was okay. What happened? "She just collapsed. Her heart stopped. There's the doctor," she said, letting me go and hurrying over to Luke, who was already there in front of the man dressed in white. "Would you like to go somewhere private?" the doctor asked. Luke looked back at us, at me standing there. "No, this is her family," he said. The doctor nodded. "Dixie has a rare congenital heart condition called long QT syndrome. Most people have no signs or symptoms until the moment their heart stops, thus ending their life. It almost always goes undetected until it's too late. Dixie was lucky. Her mother was there with her, and you kept her heart pumping until the paramedics could revive her. Most aren't that lucky. I want you to understand the severity of what she's been through, and that she isn't in the clear just yet. We have put her in a drug-induced coma and packed her in ice to bring her temperature down. In 2 days, we will warm her back up and bring her out of the coma. She will be in it for about 4 days total. I've done this before, and it's been successful, and I've done it, and it hasn't been. But we will do our absolute best to bring her through this. She's a fighter. Once she's brought out of the coma, we will then fit her for an implantable cardioverter defibrillator that will regulate her heartbeat. Her heart had stopped. Dear God, she could have died. Today, I'd have never gotten to hold her again. We wouldn't grow old together. She'd have never grown old. The idea of it rocked me. I sank down onto the closest chair and buried my head in my hands. She didn't die. She was alive. The coma they had put her in scared the fuck out of me. She had to open her eyes and look at me. She had to let me tell her we were forever. She had to let me give her everything she ever wanted, everything she deserved. It wasn't over yet. We still had a lifetime to live first. Chapter 35. Asher Sutton. I opened my eyes, squinting against the sun now coming through the waiting room window. I saw Scarlett sitting across from me. She had her knees pulled up under her chin and her arms wrapped around her legs. She had no makeup, and her hair was in a messy knot on top of her head, but she was still the same striking redhead that had almost torn my brothers apart. She was Dixie's best friend, and I was happy she was here. I just hoped Brent and Bray weren't back anytime soon. Sitting up, I yawned and stretched. She dropped her knees and straightened. She looked like she was ready to be told to leave, or worse. Someone must have known where to contact you. Dixie will be happier here. My words seemed to ease her some. Charlotte called last night, she said. Good. She was quiet for a few minutes, staring down at her hands. I must have missed some things since it isn't Steele sleeping on those chairs. I was the only one still here. Her parents had paid for a guest room. The rest had gone to a hotel. But I wasn't leaving. Not while she was here, fighting for her life. She broke it up with Steele a couple of days after you left. I figured it was something like that. She paused, then added, Charlotte said her heart stopped. The screaming, the sirens, the helicopter. I could still hear them in my head. I'd never forget them. I knew I'd keep reliving the horror of those moments in my nightmares. She's going to wake up, isn't she? Her words were both a question and a statement. A plea stemming out of her fear. She'll wake up. Dixie is strong. You know that. I had to believe that. Scarlett nodded, but then frowned. How long do I have? When do the others get here? They're all at a hotel with Mama. I expect they'll be here in an hour. I can text Steele to let me know when they're headed this way. Is it that bad? Do you think I need to leave? I didn't want her to feel like she couldn't stay, but I knew her presence here would hurt my brothers even more at a time when they were already hurting. They've come to blows. It didn't fix things. They're not the same, Scarlett. She hung her head and closed her eyes. I wasn't thinking. I should have never let Brent believe I loved him. She shook her head as if to clear it and stood up. But that's not what is important now. Dixie is what's important, and when she wakes up, she will need you here, not me. I'm going to go, but I won't go far. I'll ask Charlotte to keep me updated. This wasn't easy for her. I knew that. I would have understood had she wanted to stay. All the drama with my brothers felt less important right now. Scarlett hadn't been gone long when my mom and brothers returned. Mama came to sit beside me and put a bag with what smelled like buttered biscuits and bacon in my lap. Eat, she said. Won't be as good as mine, but it'll do. You need to eat. I didn't have an appetite, but telling her that was pointless. She'd make me eat anyway, so I did as I was told. Heard anything? Brent asked, sitting down in the seat Scarlett had been in not long ago. I thought about telling him and Bray, but decided against it. No, I just answered.
Mama patted my leg. I had Brent pull this condition she has up on the internet with that phone of his. I read about it. She's one of the lucky ones, and she can live with this. Now that they know about it, they can keep a watch on it. I'd done the same. I had read everything I could find on my phone about this syndrome. The doctor hadn't been exaggerating when he said she was lucky. She'd shown no symptoms until she collapsed, and she could have easily died then had Charlotte not been there to see it and act fast. Even once she was released, I didn't know how I would ever let her out of my sight again. My fear of something happening to her again wasn't going to go away overnight. I knew I had to deal with this. Her mother walked into the waiting room. "They'll be taking the ice away and warming her up today. The doctor said she is responding well. He feels good about it all so far." I felt both relieved and stressed even more. Something could go wrong. They weren't talking about that, but I knew it could. I suddenly needed some air. I felt like the whole room was closing in on me. "I'm going for a walk," I said, and headed for the door without looking back. When I got outside the waiting room, I leaned against the wall and closed my eyes. She needed me to be strong for her, to believe she could do this. I wanted to be strong, but right now all I wanted to do was cry. All I could think about was that I could lose her, that fear was slowly choking me. The door behind me then opened, and while I expected to see my mother walking through it, my eyes found Charlotte. I got myself together. She didn't need to see me breaking down. She was scared as it is, and I didn't need to add to it. "Sorry, my family can be too much sometimes," I said, wondering if she was needing to get away from them too. She smiled. "They're fine, great, really. Having all of you here means a lot." Several of the people from their church had come by, including the pastor. They'd brought flowers and snacks, but no one had stayed overnight. Dixie's aunt was in town, as was her grandmother. They'd come yesterday and said they would be back today. "I can't leave her." Charlotte nodded. "And if it were you in there, she wouldn't be able to leave you either. She'd be much like you are now, doing all she could to hold herself together. The two of you." She smiled to herself before continuing. "You've been dancing around each other since you were kids. You worried you were too old. She worried you'd never see her for more than a little girl. Then when you finally come together, those letters appear and ruin it all. So many obstacles, so much pain. Yet, here you are, not leaving this hospital. That's what happens when you know you've found the one. I once told her you weren't it. That there was someone else out there for her. I wanted it to be true because I wanted her to have a chance to be happy. But I see now she knew better. You two make a whole. Now when she found that she found you at such a young age, gives me hope that she will fight to open her eyes, that she will fight to live, that she will fight to come back to us." Chapter 36. Asher Sutton. The waiting room was slowly filling up. I'd woken up here for the third morning in a row to find more and more people from Malroy arriving. The girls from the salon, Norton Knowles and his wife, Denver Watson, even Amber and Hannah, as well as faces that were familiar but I couldn't place. I kept my head down mostly, lost in my thoughts. They'd be waking her up today, or trying to. The doctor had said there was a chance she would go into her own coma, and then we'd have to wait it out. I wanted to see her eyes. God, I wanted to hold her hand and promise her that we'd get to be all she wanted us to be. I would bust my ass to make sure the past 3 years became a distant memory for her. As nice as it was that these people were here offering their support to Luke and Charlotte, I wished they'd all go away. The voices around me were grating on my nerves. I needed silence. I needed to think of all the ways I would try to make Dixie happy. "Brent said you hadn't left at all. Hannah had kept her distance until now, but she had worked her way over to me. I nodded. What was I supposed to say to that? Of course I hadn't fucking left. Can I go get you something? This wasn't the feed and seed. This wasn't a lunch break. It was the damn hospital. Did she think a sandwich would make it all better? No. I knew I was being rude, but I couldn't get myself to care. Dixie might never wake up, and I'd be here eating a damn sandwich. She didn't say anything after that. She just sat there beside me in silent support. But I kept thinking that Dixie wouldn't want her there beside me. I needed her to go. Talk to someone else. Leave me alone. Asher, go with me to get a coffee. Bray was suddenly standing in front of us, looking down at me. He knew I needed some space, and Hannah didn't seem to get that. I stood up and followed him out without a word to anyone around me. They'd all have to just understand. Small talk and words of courtesy were the last thing on my mind. Luke felt the same. He wasn't even in here for that very reason. He was keeping his distance from the crowd by staying away. When we were far enough from everyone, Bray stopped walking. I have no fucking clue where to get coffee. I was just thinking, if I didn't get you out of there, you were gonna toss Hannah's hot ass out a window. I wasn't going to go that far, but I was grateful he saved me. I just need her to wake up like she's supposed to, I said, staring out the window in front of us. Out there, the sun was still shining. The world was still turning. People were still living their lives, unaware that others were locked away in here fighting for theirs. Their world hadn't stopped, just ours. I turned to Bray. Scarlett came by yesterday morning. She was here when I woke up. She didn't stay because you and Brent would be coming, but she closed by. Waiting on news? Charlotte is keeping her updated. Bray was silent for a couple minutes. I understood needing to be left alone with your thoughts to process it all, so I let him. We both stood there with our arms crossed over our chests, our eyes on the world outside, but not really seeing any of it. Both our minds were elsewhere. I'm not letting her go. Brent may hate me for life, but I can't let her go. She makes me sane. She understands and accepts me in a way no one else ever has. I can't let her go, Asher. I knew he couldn't. I never expected it to be that easy. Seeing Dixie put into that helicopter, realizing that life can end so abruptly, just like Dad's, I have to fight for her. Life could end for any of us at any moment. I knew he hadn't meant to, but the image of Dixie being taken away caused a burning in my chest again. I just nodded in agreement. I had to catch my breath. I had to remember she was alive. And I hadn't lost her. Shit, didn't mean to upset you. You've gone fucking wide. It's never going to be easy remembering those things. Bray squeezed my shoulder. No, it ain't. He agreed. I started to say more when Charlotte's voice rang down the hallway. She's awake! My heart jumped in my chest. The long strides I took from where I had been standing with Bray to the room that Charlotte led me to were a blur. All I could think about was that Dixie's eyes were open. She was here. She was back. When we reached the room, Luke was just walking out. He smiled at Charlotte. His eyes were full of joy while his cheeks were still damp from his tears. She's asking for Asher. I didn't wait for an invitation. I moved past both her parents and opened the door. Dixie looked so small on that bed, her skin pale and with all those wires connected to her body, but from the moment her eyes found mine, a smile curled on her lips. I had prayed for days just to see that smile again. And just from seeing her there sitting up and awake, I started to cry. Asher. Her voice was hoarse and soft. I moved toward her as my vision blurred from the tears and a sob tore from my chest. When I finally got to her, I laid my head in her lap and let the fear, relief, and all-consuming love I felt for this woman break me further. Her hand touched my head, and I just stayed there. "I love you too," she said. I smiled through the tears and lifted my head to see her, to take her in, to remind myself she was alive. We still had our forever ahead of us.
Chapter 37. Luke Monroe. My baby girl was alive. I stood outside her hospital room door while Asher Sutton sat by her side. The doctor gave us an update on the device they'd implanted on her heart to keep it beating. He explained how her life would be different. She will have regular doctor visits. She can eventually have regular exercise in her life, but moderate, nothing too strenuous. This is a hereditary condition, so if she ever decides to have children, they'd have a 50-50 chance of having the same condition. That's a choice she will have to make. Do either of you have a history of any heart conditions in your family? I spoke. Charlotte isn't her biological mother. And no, I've never had any issues, but her biological mother, she died of unknown causes. She had left us, so I didn't look into it. She hadn't been in our lives for 5 years at the time of her death. I hadn't wanted Dixie to know. I wanted to protect her from Millie, from all she'd done, all she was capable of doing. I didn't want Dixie to mourn a mother who wasn't worth it. She'd never loved Dixie. Millie had only loved herself. The doctor nodded. I'd be interested in finding out if it was heart-related. There is a very high chance it was long QT syndrome and it just went undetected. It often does. Dixie is very lucky. I've said that to you before, but I need to stress to you just how lucky she is that you were there when she collapsed. You saved her life. What if Charlotte hadn't been there? I couldn't think that way. She had been there, and Dixie had lived. She will need to stay with us another week at least. Then we will need to put her in some physical therapy to ease her into things. Dixie is very strong and very determined. She has a life ahead of her now and the two of you to thank for it. He patted me on the back, then turned and left us. Will I ever stop asking myself what would have happened if I hadn't been there? What if I'd been outside? What if she'd been in her room and I hadn't heard her? Charlotte was fighting her tears, but slowly losing that battle. I shook my head. I don't know. I keep asking myself the same thing. Now I feel guilty for not looking into Millie's death and why it happened. Maybe if I'd known more and had Dixie checked on time, we would have been able to stop this from ever happening. Charlotte wrapped her arms around one of mine. We can't do that, Luke. She lived. She is okay. We were given this gift, and we can't keep torturing ourselves with what-ifs. We need to rejoice she is alive. I kissed the top of her head. This woman had come into our lives when we needed her the most. She'd taught me to love again, to trust again. She'd given my daughter the kind of mother she deserved. She'd loved her like her own, and now she'd saved her life. My world before Charlotte had only one ray of light in it, my Dixie. But Charlotte gave it a rainbow. I love you, Charlotte Monroe. I became the luckiest man alive the day you walked into my life. She tilted her head back and looked up at me. You and Dixie gave me the first joy I'd ever had in life. I'm the lucky one. I didn't argue. She was pretty damn lucky, too. We all were.
Chapter 38. Asher Sutton. Steele was standing alone outside the waiting room when I made my way back in there to give everyone an update, and to give Luke and Charlotte some time alone with Dixie. I stopped and waited for him to say what he was out here to say. This moment was coming. I knew he had things he needed to say. It was only fair. This had been hard on him, too. We both almost lost the girl we loved. She woke up and wanted you, he said simply. It wasn't a question, just a simple statement. When she was taken away and we didn't know why or what was going on, he paused. My first thoughts weren't of Dixie. They weren't of me. The first thing that ran through my head was that you wouldn't survive this. That was it. I was terrified, sure. The idea of Dixie, the whole damn thing was scary as hell. But my first thought was that you'd not make it through this if you lost her. He paused and looked away from me. I watched as